to welcome all of you that are here tonight. It's good to see a good crowd to come to City Council. It's not often we get so many people that are interested in what's going on in the lookout. But we're happy that you're here. And we're going to begin the meeting with invocation and the Pledge of Allegiance. And Darren is going to lead us in that.
Our Father in Heaven, we're thankful that we could be here and that we could take care of the affairs of the city, and please bless this city, that we can be guided and that we can help make good decisions, and that we can watch after our fellow men. And we say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Ready, begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I didn't see Nick here. Is Nick here in the fire department? Not here, so we won't have a report from him.
We could probably ask him to only come like quarterly. He would need to come every week, every other week, doesn't he?
We just like to see him here.
Okay.
Next item on the agenda is the consent agenda. This is could be a simple motion unless there's some discussion on the agenda. No answering motions, if not any discussion.
Mayor, I'll make the motion to approve the consent agenda as listed. Declarations of conflict of interest, agenda, meeting minutes of May 21st, 2025, regular meeting, checks and invoices for $67,882.57.
Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Darren?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Fanny?
Yes.
Blair?
Yes.
Okay. The next item on the agenda is a public hearing, and this is on the budget amendment. Before we open the hearing to the public, we'll have Kyle take a few minutes and explain what we have in the budget amendment.
Okay, this, Mayor, this is the year-end budget amendment that we do every year. Luckily for us, it's been a good year for us, and we've had revenues that have come in and been a little bit more than we anticipated and that we budgeted for, so we're going to amend the budget. And to close out the year, there are several items on here that I'd like to go over that are in the budget amendment that if you approve, it'd be stuff that we could get between now and July 1st. We talked about new guns for the police department. I believe it's seven of them, correct, Chief? Seven new guns for the police department, a new lawnmower, reimbursement for asphalt for 480 South. We have money set aside in here for Bull Stratton and Kyson Spenla. That's part of the agreement we have for the regional trail to buy their property. That's in here. For car cameras, our surveillance or our security cameras, we brought some money back out of the reserve fund to put up. There's $35,000 set aside for some more security cameras, things that you guys have talked about in our previous meeting. We've decided on a vacation rental software company to monitor our vacation rentals, short-term rentals, so we have them online. And this will start the process. Just a little bit about that vacation rental software. It'll take them probably 30 to 40 days to get all the information loaded in, and we'll be able to put out a list of all the vacation rentals in the city of Leverkin, and we'll be able to compare that to the ones that have business licenses and the ones that don't, and then we can take the proper action. The dump truck needs a new engine. We also have some money in there for a new mini excavator, UTV for the rec Recreation Department. And right now we have in the budget amendment a money for a building for the cemetery, a temporary build, not temporary building, but not a state building, I don't know what you'd call it. building that would be just mostly a cover. There would be no cement floor or the ground to put stuff in. We got back the amount of money that it would take to put the building up, and it was more than we anticipated. So we still have that money in there. When we decide a couple of things, maybe I can report back in a couple of weeks. We can either buy the building and wait until next year and then get the money to erect the building, or just leave the money and not spend it. It'll go back into the savings account if we don't spend it. And then next year's budget, we can amend the budget to take it back out, however we want to do that. All in all, we are increasing the budget with increased revenues, plus taking a little bit of money out of savings for those things by just about $260,000. So that's the things I discussed will be what we'll purchase between now and June.
Okay. We will now open the public hearing on the budget amendment. If there's anybody here that would like to comment on the budget amendment, you're welcome to come up and make a comment, as long as you're a citizen and we're working.
I was just curious.
Come up to the stand, please. And state your name, if you would.
My name is Anna Durham. I was just curious, would be $35,000 for the security cameras, like where those cameras are being used in town? Maybe those road cameras or?
We have a list that we brought to the city council. I can't tell you exactly where all those are right now. There's some on this building, some on our other building, and in our parks.
Okay. But like,
just mostly the
water
persuade
towers.
People to not
water towers.
Water tanks.
Water,
yeah.
Water tanks, yes. So to not vandalize.
Awesome.
They do, you can identify them.
Restrooms.
Okay, restrooms, another one, another place. That, not inside the restrooms.
We already have, we're just adding to the security system we already have.
Cool, thank you.
Thanks. Anyone else would like to make a comment?
I think it should be noted on those. I saw on Facebook some people were very concerned about the ones pointing at their restrooms. Why would it do that?
Because of vandalism.
Right.
Yeah.
They're obviously not inside the restroom.
Yeah. But that was just, somebody made that point on Facebook, and I think we should let them know that that's our
right.
Desire to keep those from being
keep
vandalism.
It safe.
On that note, Mayor, it's just, you know, now you brought that up, we just got the bid to fix the restrooms that have been vandalized. And it's $88,000, so that's one reason why.
88?
We didn't want the gold toilets.
How much was it? And that's $88,000, so that's incentive enough to put cameras up to stop people from vandalizing.
Anyway, any others that the public would like to make a comment on the budget amendment? No? Okay, we'll close the public hearing then. The next item on the agenda is business. In the business item is a discussion and possible action to approve Resolution R-2025-06, a resolution opening and amending the fiscal year 2024-2025 budget. And this is for the council. Comments from the council on the budget. There it is.
I think we've discussed it in detail and we're ready to approve it.
Yeah. You have any comments? No. Good. Patty?
Well, I'm really pleased there's a little more money than what we thought. That's great. So, yes. And so, I'm very pleased. I think we've discussed it at length. We've had a work meeting on it, so I'm comfortable with it.
Goodbye. Okay. Okay, well, I will entertain a motion then to approve this resolution on the budget amendment.
I'll make the motion to approve Resolution R-2025-06, a resolution opening and amending the fiscal year 2024-2025.
motion and a second. Blair?
Yes.
Patty?
Yes.
Yes.
Darren?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. The next item on the agenda is a presentation and discussion regarding the application for a critical infrastructure protection area for Interstate Rock at the gravel pit out north of town. I guess Chase, Bo, which one of you is doing the talking? We'll let you go first, and then after you, we'll have Tim Anderson come up and make a presentation as well. And then we'll, while you're talking to him, we might even have some questions.
Mr. Mayor, before Chase gets going, can I make a couple of comments?
You can make all the comments you'd like.
I passed out to all the council members kind of tentative schedule for completing our consideration of this application for critical infrastructure material protection area. You can see right now on June 4th, this is where we are tonight. They'll be making, so each side will be making a presentation tonight. On June 11th, the Planning Commission will meet, and they will be, hopefully, be in a position to make some sort of determination. There's a deadline for them to make a determination of June 16th. That's 45 days from the date that public notice of this whole thing's kicked off.
Okay. Also, the County Advisory Board is...
County Advisory Board will also have to have a recommendation to us by that same time. County Advisory Board is planning a little field trip down there tomorrow. I think maybe Chase or someone from Interstate Rock is going to be conducting a little tour of the area, so they have a little bit better...
That's at 10 o'clock.
That's at 10 o'clock, yeah. A little better idea.
Are they going to have a meeting as well to discuss this, a public meeting?
I don't know if they'll have a public meeting to discuss it. I think because they will have a quorum present, it's being advertised as a public meeting, but down at that site. But I don't know if there's going to be any discussion afterwards or not. That'll be up to them, basically. And then finally, we have it tentatively set for a public hearing on July 2nd for a final determination by the city. We have to give public notice, at least 7 days public notice, of the date, time, and place for a public hearing, and we have to provide a summary of each of the recommendations from the Planning Commission and from the Advisory Committee to folks in the area. So they'll know what those recommendations are. There'll be a public hearing. They'll have an opportunity to come and talk. So that's kind of the tentative schedule. There may be some changes to that depending on what happens. I know that Mr. Anderson and I, and maybe Chase has been involved in this. We talked about the possibility of maybe deviating a little bit from the schedule and sort of backing off a little bit and seeing if we can't come to a resolution by some sort of mutual agreement that would then shortcut all of this stuff. I'm not sure if that can happen or not, but if after tonight's meeting, if the council thinks that's a good idea, we'll begin those discussions and see where they lead us.
So. Okay. Is the public invited tomorrow or not on that?
As far as for our city or mine and stuff, we weren't planning on any public coming to attend. I'm being common, be part of whatever happens before or after, but as far as the tour of our facilities to see if that was just for the advisory board members.
Okay. All right. Chase.
Yep. So first, I would just like to kind of give a little bit of history and background of why we are looking to apply for this SIMPA designation. Also, to kind of outline a little bit of our plans and operations going forward and just more information. So if any kind of you guys have questions or you want clarification on something, please stop. So first, just the history. Over in this area, not currently in the pit that we're operating right now, but over in, and I'll show this a little bit to you. So the property in red is the property that we own and pieces of the parcels that will be in the overlay. So in the 1970s, some of this area over here, which is now part of the Cottonwood Hall's subdivision and development, that was that material was extracted from that site for road projects, specifically the SR9 going up the spring up around the twist. In the 1980s, we actually, Interstate Rock came over here, and that's when we first went into the site and started extracting material. It was in this area over here. In the 1990s, we moved over to this section, which is where the current pit is. So since the 80s, we've been on this general area. But the pit has been, since the 90s, we specifically have been there. I mean, I could go back and show historical imagery of this area back in the 90s, but we've been mining there since any development was even really conceived to come around us, either by ourselves or trailways or other developments. The purpose has always been extraction of those sandy gravel resources. To give a little bit more detail on this, I mean, that's the whole process is just sand and gravel for construction purposes. There is a little bit of for like landscaping and stuff, but right here, we just wanted to give a kind of look at what our future plans are of the pit. So this is pointing north. This is the bridge going into the Trail Ridge subdivision. This is some of the Wilson's property down here. This is Cottonwood Hall subdivision. So right now, the place we're currently extracting mineral, extracting sand and gravel out of is right here down this corner. This green section right here, that is our 15-year plan. So over the next 15 years, we're going to be extracting all this material right here, and that will take us a full 15 years. After that 15-year period, the next 15-year period, so basically in 30 years, we move into this section right here and mine that material. Now, our current mine, our extraction plan for the sand and gravel is to take this down to about the level of these fills, this area right in here, which is about 10 feet lower than this road. So it's not a drastic lower, but it would be lower. We're not looking to go, 50 feet below the surrounding properties and make a giant pit for us to have to reclaim. That disturbance would be astronomical in price, and it just doesn't make sense. What our plan right now is just to go down to about that level of these surrounding properties down here. So that's kind of that. Also, kind of history. There hasn't been a ready-mix batch plant or an asphalt batch plant in this pit. So, I mean, we're really not looking to do that. During the whole time that we've been extracting materials, we have been regulated by all the federal and government agencies with MSHA, air quality, EPA, everything on the federal and state level. And we have always, and even the city code, we've always made sure that we do follow all those regulations and we're in good standing with all those regulatory bodies. And that is something that we'll have to continue going forward as well. I want to spend a little bit of time. So with this, this new House Bill 355 that came out, I think it went into law May 7th or something like that. House Bill 355, it defined a vested critical infrastructure material use. And it provided protection for those uses. And that's something separate from a SMPA, something separate from what we're applying for through the municipality, through the Bergen City. The vested use is just something that's at a state level that somebody that's extracting sand and gravel and has been for a long time, they can basically make a declaration and say, hey, we have a vested use, a vested critical infrastructure material use on this property. And with that, that's kind of, I know that House Bill 355 is kind of something that kind of dredged up a lot of worries about asphalt plants, ready-mix plants. in the simple, there's nothing that I believe that ties into the very example month. That's really tied to just that addressing critical material use language in that statute. Anybody can correct me if I'm wrong, I'm not a lawyer. But with that, we actually have already gone and made that declaration at a state level, and we record those documents. One thing I want to clarify to you guys, a lot of people ask me, hey, how do you say you're not doing regular time, say you're not doing asphalt fine. One, our documents, because we actually did one for our hurricane operations as well, and in here it clearly says, you know, we're currently operating for this period. It says that we're operating, and this is where we have to define, hey, these are the uses, this is what we're doing in this area that we want to have a vested right or a vested use in. And in here, it calls out, you know, sand and gravel, cement batch plant, asphalt batch plant, and those specific uses tied into our sand and gravel operation in hurricane. So those are for our hurricane operations. And the Leverican one, we left those out because obviously we don't have a vested use of an asphalt plant or a ready-mix batch plant. So as the operator already getting this vested use that is provided by the state code, we've already said, obviously, we can't do it because it had to be you had to have operated it continuously and never had 24-month gap periods. Well, since we never had them on the property, we don't have a right to say that those are vested use. So I just want to make sure that that's very clear. Is we, per state code, we do not have the vested use of an asphalt plant or a ready-mix batch plant. And even us going forward and making a declaration that we have a vested use in the sand and gravel, we do not have... We didn't call those out as trying to say that they are vested use, because we know they're not. With that, really, why do we want this simple? That's kind of the thing is, okay, if we have these vested use and all these other things, why are we seeking this simple designation? Honestly, it's just to continue under the same regulations and restrictions that are currently in place and to continue extracting sand and gravel. There's no surprises, there's no aha moments here. It's just literally to continue what we're doing and to gain a couple of additional protections from eminent domain, rezoning, code changes that deal with, you know, noise and nuisance. And I want to clarify that change is not what's actually in the code right now. So right now, the SIMPA basically gives us the ability to get some protections for 20 years, not forever, just a 20-year period to get some of those protections. And that's really why we're applying for it, because we want to just be able to keep operating and using the property as we have been and as is currently allowed and done with the city. So that's kind of that. And there's one other thing. It's not really, I mean, tied into the SIMPA. I just know there's a lot of questions about access here, so I want to clarify that for everyone. We have accesses that are called out per development agreement with the owners of the Trail Ridge property. Those accesses, you know, it's kind of hard to see, but they're those yellow pieces right there. And for our development agreement with the Trail Ridge developers, those accesses are all accesses that will be put in once the property is fully developed out. That access agreement called out basically this one, are all ones that will be put in at a future date as we get to develop out. When we are done mining this pit, which based on our reserves that we think are there of sand and gravel, it'll be 50 to 60 years. And so with that, these things, the way we look at reclaiming this is obviously building a subdivision. That's what we've done on other parts of the property that we have extracted sand and gravel from, and that's what we plan to do in the future, and that's what these accesses were originally put into the agreement for, was for that interconnectivity in the future. Now this access right here is called out the Main Street access. That access is part of the agreement that this through all of our property up to this point up in here, that there would be a Main Street access. Now that access, correct me if I'm wrong, we got a question about this. Does getting a SIMPA designation kind of go around this access? Does it make it so that this Leverkin Main Street cannot go through? Since the development agreement with that developer was in place before Asimpa, I don't believe that there is any precedence that says, hey, now that they have a Asimpa designation, they don't have to hold up their stock part of this agreement. I don't believe that's what it is. We do know that access is going in. We don't have any problems with it going in. We've actually, just in the last couple of years, we have dedicated a portion of that access already to the Oregon City for Main Street, because we know it's going to go in. We don't have any problem with that. It's there. And also with regarding emergency access, I know a lot of people, there's a little bit of a dirt road right here that's already has a little bit of road base on it. It goes up to a gate right here. That road is, all the reason it's a road is because it's an easement for the Conservancy District to maintain their pipeline. That's all that road is. It's not an access, it's not anything else. Now, we have given permission to the Hurricane Valley Fire Special Service District to access that in case of an emergency, because obviously we know that that should be done. So now there's no, we haven't given them like an easement or anything to use it, we've just given them permission to go across it, barring that they will never try to go and push for a restricted easement or any kind of easement. Because we know, again, the river Main Street will go up to that point and they'll make a connection. And I think the development agreement says something like 100, after, has to be a paved road after 154 lots are platted in that, in the Charlie subdivision. It's only like 99 or something right now. So it's still weighed out as far as being enforced by a development agreement, but from our point of view, it can go in and be dedicated at any time. Yes.
Is this agreement you're talking about? It's an agreement between Interstate Rock and Shoyer Ridge back in 2006. That's the agreement you're referring to?
Yes, correct.
And I think what it calls for is after 151 lots have been sold, as you stated, that those roads would be dedicated. Is there any language or mechanism for getting those roads improved? Who pays the cost of improvement?
So in the development, it calls out what kind of standard of improvement as well. So actually, it calls out that...
I think it says 32-foot road.
Yeah, so it calls out before that there actually should be a 24-foot road, whether that's road-based, all weather access for emergency vehicles. That has not been done yet, but it did call out for that before any development would happen. Now that's something that could be put in place and be dedicated, and it was called that at that time, that it would be improved to that kind of a standard. And then after, again, 150-something, I don't remember the last number there, okay? 51, possibly. But after that, it does call out that it has to be an asphalted, and I think it does call out the width of the road, and it has to be an asphalted road. So it would be a fully improved road dedicated to, respectively, Tocqueville City on their portion and Laverkin City on their portion. And that is something that...
Who pays for that?
It's split 50-50 between the Toyota Ridge, or the developer of Trail Ridge, and us.
Okay.
And that's part of an agreement that, again, I believe putting a simple classification on does not make us not be able to be held to that agreement. That agreement was made 20 years prior. Yeah, I mean, it could have more precedence instead of a simple designation. Yeah.
Is that a concern that the folks in Trail Ridge have, is that you won't complete that road?
I just know that there is concern among, not necessarily about completing that road, but it's just about current emergency access. And so I just want to make that clear that there, we have given permission for emergency access, even though it's not one of the access points that is master planned in the, planned in the future through the development agreement.
Mm-hmm.
It's just what's there until the Bergen Main Street can, it is completed.
Chase, I've got a question. Just to clarify, so you entered into an agreement with the developer who's in Tocqueville, your property borders theirs, and you agreed with the developer that you would provide access into, through this area, the gravel pit area, Cottonwood Hollow 20, whatever.
Yeah.
But If the timeline is 151 lots sold,
but not you're, sold, just recorded at the county.
But that's not going to work into your 30-year plan. Your 30-year plan.
No.
So how are you going to provide a road through your gravel pit?
Yeah, so if you look right here on the map, it's this access point. It's not over here through our pit, any of this.
Okay.
These three accesses are not defined as a timeline tied to their flagging. That is just a timeline to our development,
okay,
not to the trailer's development.
But I thought that going past the 30-year plan, I thought at one point you were going to be able to extract the sand and gravel to the east of Main Street. Is that not so?
So if we decided, I mean, there's like 60 feet of overburden there that is covering any sand and gravel that is actually usable.
Uh-huh.
If we ever decided to mine over that area, it'd be expensive and it would be very costly. I'm not saying that that's not something that would happen in the future. Our 50 to 60 year plan is everything west of Overburden Main Street.
Okay.
Now,
okay.
After that, it would still, Leverick and Main Street would just be there. It's just be exactly like if Main Street was there paved and everything today, it'd be the same thing. If we paved and everything there today, and we'd still have our construction and operation over there.
Okay, but so right now, you're using Main Street. Your big trucks are using Main Street extensively. Right now, that's the only exit is Main Street.
Correct.
So those lots were sold or platted. Then you would be forced to put that through much earlier than what you're ready to, correct?
I mean, we signed a development agreement, we were ready for whenever that development agreement happens, whether it was a year or 2 years down the road, we were ready for it.
Okay, very good.
So if it goes through, it's a paved road that has public access. I mean, it's really, we're talking about, as far as like our operations, it's instead of not very much traffic from this point to that point, now it's just that is gone, and you just now have traffic just like it is through the subdivision.
Okay.
Chase, did I hear you say you've already dedicated a portion of the roadway extending Main Street through the property?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, and how much?
I can't remember exactly what it was, but I want to say it was from, basically there's a culvert right here. It goes across this wash, and maybe Derek, you might know
there's
better.
There's a cattle guard there somewhere.
Yeah, a cattle guard right here. I want to believe it was from, maybe it was just this section right up to the cattle guard. I thought it was past a little bit. Different department.
It is a 24 feet that has been dedicated, 24 foot road, or is it? You don't know. Okay.
I can go and research it.
Yeah,
that's
okay.
Okay.
I understand. Any other questions?
Do you build gravel, sand and gravel, that pit in Leverkin?
It is Leverkin, so we report. Through the state, we have to report all of our gravel operations and which city they are located in, and so it is out through Leverkin City.
So we do get the tax revenue from that, is that correct?
Yes.
Even though your office is in Hurricane?
Yeah, because it's not based on where our main office is located. I mean, for sand and gravel, it's based out of the location of the sand and gravel source.
That's good to hear.
Okay.
Chase, do you have any objection to extending our timetable for making the determination on this to allow for maybe some negotiation of a settlement agreement of some kind?
I would say where it's the July 2nd is the deadline for this, and we have everything else already going into place with planning and zoning, the advisory board and everything. I think our company would prefer to keep that timeline. I think it's enough for us to still be able to, we're pretty easy to hold up and schedule a meeting. I think we can scope this out in the next week or so to see what it's going to look like,
yeah,
and see if there is a possibility to do something outside of what we're looking
for. You're not opposed to at least talking about it within the guidelines, or within the time frame that we're talking about?
Correct.
Okay. We may need to, just to talk to the council, we might need to delay the final determination from July 2nd to July 16th, just because of people being out of town on vacations and so forth. That's a possibility, I don't know for sure.
Okay.
The City Council has to make a determination in fact within 120 days of the date that the application was received. That puts us to roughly August 1st. So we have to extend.
And I knew there was a timeline there, so I didn't know if July 2nd was like the end of that timeline, but if there is some wiggle room there so that it doesn't fall outside of all the application, everything we've done, so that timeline when it restarts, then
Okay.
We're okay with some wiggle room.
Okay.
Any other questions for us?
I don't have a question. I do have a comment. Chase, you've been coming to City Council for, 3 years now on this, discussing it?
Yeah, 2022 is the first time I think we met and actually talked about it, and then for other reasons we've
right.
gotten away to this
yeah.
point.
Interstate Rock has been a very good neighbor in the city, and I certainly appreciate your business. I live right off of Main Street. I wave hello to your drivers every morning when I'm walking or running. So, thanks for what you've done so far, and I'm glad that we're studying it at this point.
Ken.
Hi.
Thanks, Jason. Mr. Anderson. We'll give you 5 minutes. Just kidding.
You know, I really do appreciate it. I appreciate the conversation very much. My name is Tim Anderson. I'm a lawyer with Curt McConkie. I've run the St. George office of Jones Waldo for years before that. Now, Curt McConkie, I've been practicing law in St. George for about 47 years. And I have with me also Amanda Todd, who's a member of our real estate litigation group. And I appreciate the opportunity to visit with the Planning Commission last week. And very much the accommodation from Craig Reber, who I've known for a long, long time, and just the city for being willing to look into this and give us time to really talk it through. Sometimes we really struggle with that in dealing with the state legislature, for example. A lot of times they don't want to listen, or they give you no time to talk. And also some other cities do too, but it's clear to me that what's really desired here is to get to the bottom of this and get a good resolution. And that's the way we feel too. We represent the Bakers, and that would be Lloyd and Nicole Baker, who lived in Laverkin, but right on the edge of the property we're talking about. And listened to the presentation was made, I will mention that just before we started, Faye did hand me a proposed agreement and had a chance to look at it. Very quickly and without going in deep review of it, it kind of looks where we would like to go with this. I think this is a matter to be resolved in an agreement. I realize that Interstate Rock's been working on this for a while and see if this is a solution, but I think one of the questions is why? Why does it have to be this type of solution? Because we really don't think it does. We think we can get to a resolution that will work for the city and also for everyone involved. And so, I have a new clicker, by the way. Just very quickly, and I'm not going to spend much time on this, but probably as Faye has probably run past her from time to time, in dealing with matters like this, the city has a big responsibility to make these decisions. And in particular, when under this act, the city has to find a way and said to make a decision, you know, for or against the city's action must have a rational basis and be reasonably related to a legitimate governmental interest. Can't be arbitrary, capricious, or illegal. And I suggest legitimate governmental interest because what we're talking about is giving a private company an opportunity here to have things treated differently by you as the city council than you normally would do.
How do you mean create it differently?
Well, because if this critical infrastructure area is adopted, then there are things that you cannot do.
Right.
You can't regulate them directly in many respects. In fact, I will have a slide here that may address that exactly. Let's see.
How's it going
to be? Here are the powers that the city gives up in Utah approving this type of a district. It's zoning restrictions, the city cannot change zoning designation or zoning regulations or affecting the land within SIMPA without obtaining written approval from each critical infrastructure materials operator within the area. So what that means is that you can't make those changes without going to Interstate Rock and saying, we got to get your approval.
And
Can
we do that without the approval of anyone?
You can't if a SIMPA is passed.
I mean, if there's not a SIMPA passed.
Then you can, yes. Without the SIMPA being passed, you're the city council. You have the regulatory powers.
My question is that even though they have the right to operate that pit now, whether we create it or not, they can still operate it the way they want to right now?
Oh, yes. They have operational rights to operate it the way it is now, yes. Absolutely.
And we can't stop them.
No, you can't. And I will say, my clients don't want to stop them.
So it doesn't make any difference then?
Well, it does, because if they can do things in this pit, if they have that area set in SIMPA, then they can make changes within an area. They should have control of their own area. And you can't stop, you can't, for example, if you wanted to put a road through the area, you could not do that without that permission. You give up your eminent domain rights, for example. And I want to point out regulatory limitations. Municipalities are prohibited from enacting local laws, ordinance, regulations that unreasonably restrict critical infrastructure and material operation within the SIMPA, unless they're related directly to health, safety, and welfare. And so you do give up. In this particular area, with a look at your maps, this is a very active area.
But I guess my question is, I don't see what we're giving up.
Okay, you cannot. You're giving up the power to regulate what goes on that land property. For example, if you wanted to put a road in, you could not put a road in without the permission of the SIMPA or the owner.
We'd have to get permission from anybody to get a road in there. So.
Well, actually, you don't. If your plan required that you, say your transportation plan requires you put in a road, the city has the power to do that, and the owner has to go along with it. It's by eminent domain rights.
And I think we'd want to work with them to do that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I just don't see that as a good argument. So.
There's some others I'll explain to you here as we go, but. But anyway, that's why they want a SIMPA. A big question is why have one? Because it really isn't necessary. But here are the scope of rights that they do have in this situation that is a concern of ours. That they can, in this property, they can progress, extend, enlarge, grow, expand their operations. They can use, operate, construct, reconstruct, restore, extend, expand, alter methods of extracting or processing materials, stockpile, recycle, batch and mix concrete and asphalt plants, extract processed materials other than that's being currently extracted. And they have told you that that's not their plan. They've heard that again. And we hope that that's true.
Now, Tim, let me interrupt for just a minute. Those rights there are not rights anywhere within the SIMPA statutes. Those are
within
rights
you statute.
From the vested rights statute under 10-9A-904.
Right.
That's not the SIMPA statute.
I understand.
Okay.
And so, but these are still things that can be done that they're.
Well, these can be done, and I don't mean to get into a debate because lawyers always have a different set of opinion on things. But these are things that can be done irrespective of whether a SIMPA is granted.
No, I don't agree with that, and I'll explain why.
Okay.
I have a slide.
Okay.
But. That is not working. Okay. They've been saying that they don't want to, they have no intention of expanding, and we think that that's a good thing to be saying. It does explain in the oil, gas, and mining publications. I look in particular at the line that does explain that they can expand. It is that a company can expand increase production, change how they operate. For example, add recycling and mixed concrete asphalt plants. And so,
those are things that they can't do now anyway, so they won't have the right to do that.
Well, I think that's one of the questions that's kind of before the group, whether they really do or not. They don't. They say they won't, and we're hoping we can reach an agreement. Well, they just agree not to do that.
This
is one of the points that I think Tim and I disagree on.
Yeah.
And my reading of the code, whether or not a SMPA is granted, interstate law has those rights that he just flashed up on the screen under the vested rights doctrine, or the vested rights statutes, rather. They could withdraw their application right now, we could deny it, or whatever. But if they're a vested rights holder, they would have the ability to do all those things under the new law.
But they don't have the vested rights.
What Chase just explained is they didn't have the vested right to put in an asphalt plant or a concrete plant, but they do have the vested right to extract gravel, sand and gravel out of there. So,
absolutely.
So if they don't have a vested right to do a concrete plant or an asphalt plant, then they can't do it.
Well,
unless the city gives them the approval. Is that right?
I'm not sure of that. No, I think that they have a lot of rights under this law that go beyond what they said they're going to do.
Right.
And if you look at this is what they recorded. Let me just go back one slide. Okay, this is recorded just a few days ago by Interstate Rock. This is a notice recorded in a number of places, and basically it says the plant currently has operated for a period of 30 years on parcel of the gravel pit and connected therewith extracts, excavates, processes, and reprocesses sand, rock, and gravel. And it states where it's going to be, and then next slide. Since there are no limits on types of critical infrastructure materials operations located on the property. And then it says there remain infrastructure materials on the property to support the critical infrastructure material operations of the clearing for a considerable period of time in the future. So they're getting a notice that this can be turned into an industrial operation.
Right. Explain what you mean by that.
Well, by expanding the use. They're giving notice under their use rights that they can expand to...
What uses are you talking about?
For example, an asphalt plant or a batch plant.
They don't have that vested right.
Well, it's not a vested right.
I think they do.
It's not vested because it's not an existing legal use.
Okay.
So it's not a vested right.
Well, they have the right to move that use into new properties under the Act.
That would only be if we allow them to do that.
Well,
because they haven't been doing that, and so they don't have a vested right. Is that correct? I'm just asking a question. I don't know.
What vested rights arise? You know, what arises from the vested rights that they have? And they have the right to do lots of things under the fact that they have what they call vested rights that they recorded this notice of.
And that wasn't part of it. Concrete or asphalt?
No.
Mr. Mayor?
Yeah,
I passed out to the council just prior to the meeting a little side-by-side comparison of the language of SMPA with Utah Code 1090901, et cetera, that talks about the vested rights, and you can see exactly, this is taken word for word.
Where are you referring? Which one are you referring to?
It's this document, yes, the document there. On
which
the left hand side is the SMPA statute. On the right hand side is House Bill 355 amendments to the vested rights statute. And you can see what he's talking about, I think, is paragraph 4 with respect to the, it says, on any surface or subsurface land that critical infrastructure material operator ownership controls before May 7, 2025, they can increase production or volume, they can alter the method of extraction or processing, including with respect to the vested use, the right to stockpile, hold in reserve, to recycle, to batch and mix concrete and asphalt. But The critical point is, it's not a vested use to do that because it's not an exist. The asphalt plant, concrete plant, is not an existing legal use.
And that's the comment. That's what I was asking, is if it's not a vested legal use, then they can't do it unless the city allows them to do it.
Well, I think the best way to resolve this, it gets back to the agreement we're talking about, that if that is put in writing that that's not what they're going to do, then we get past this issue pretty well.
That pretty much what's in writing right now.
I think we're talking about hopefully a settlement agreement that allows that to be not just in writing in the statute, but in writing with the parties, so that with the concern the clients have, the community has, this is not going to be turned into an industrial location. I think that's what's been raised by the concerns, and so that's a good way to resolve it. Let me just go back.
Is that your only concern, as far as a concrete or asphalt plant?
I think that's one of the principal concerns.
That's really the only concern, then.
Well, there could be. Let me explain what some of the others are here, and I think we'll get back to it. So, anyway, let's roll forward. So let's see. I think another point that can a critical instruction to the operator by the approval of the city, I think the term I want to use, bypass approval of the city for designation of SIPA by merely filing this declaration, the answer is no. But I think that's probably not a concern at this point because this declaration isn't applying, applied to the SIPA. So anyway, first reason to reject the SIPA request. There's a concern about how this has been represented in the community. And that is that this situation will not occur. And yet there's been meetings, there's been meetings at the HOAs and other places where the applicant has explained what they intend. They're not going to expand the use. And yet under the law, they do have the right to expand the use.
But under the law, if they don't have the vested use, they can't.
Well, I guess the question is, why would they ask for the SIPA, and what rights do they have to assert under their vested use?
First, thank you very much, and thank you for all the Trail Ridge residents who've come to multiple meetings. It's on something like this. It's always very good from the perspective of the city council. You think you know what you're doing. You think you've studied it enough, and then you hear opposing views. And it's like, okay, let's think about this. Let's step back, think about this, discuss it to face point. Let's really kind of consider these other nuances into it. But as I said, Interstate Rock has been a very good neighbor. They've dealt very squarely with us. For them to not put it in writing early on that they will do something or they won't do something when they're operating legally on their property with their vested use, I do not have a problem with them not putting anything in writing at this time, up to this point. When this is all resolved one way or the other, I think those questions can be answered, but your last screen shot, that one, how it was represented to the community, nobody from Laverkan City Council, staff, etc., misrepresented anything, and I understand that Interstate Rock has visited with them many times, and so this is time and money out of their pocket. Interrupts their flow. I mean, they're a big operation, but they're small in number of management. And so for Bo and Chase to be working on this so extensively and being so gracious to have the meetings, like the last one in the city council meeting, you can't say that they misrepresented anything. They're protecting their business. So I do take issue with that. I'm not commenting to the SMPA itself, but I do take issue with how this screen is represented regarding Interstate Rock.
Okay, well, I appreciate that. And I'm just concerned about, again, the outcomes that we're concerned about, and I think that there has been concern in the community about this very thing, and so that's the reason that we're not suggesting there's some kind of deception here.
Your Facebook pages have been filled with nothing but suggestions. In fact, you just said it. Why do they need it? I think they need it so they can stay working, so that every 5 years they don't have to go through this same type of things when more neighborhoods are built, etc. I'm just saying that from being on the city council, you know, we really have to look at things from all aspects, from the business owner. There are constituents just like private owners, homeowners, etc. So we really need to look at all of this, and I think it needs to be kept in mind that this is time and money to them, and they've been very good about their outreach.
I don't disagree with that. I haven't been involved, and I just come in doing this. I think also the impact on the neighbors and those that are impacted by whatever decision is made also has great value, and I want to address that here as I go forward.
I have a question on that. I mean, they were there operating that gravel pit long before there were any neighbors around. Those that bought the homes, those that did the subdivision around it, knew the pit was there. So far, we haven't heard anything up until now, any complaints about it, at least to the city. The first time we saw some complaints when the letters went out, and that they wanted to have a protection area there. So, where's the damage to the neighbors?
And I think that's another important point, is that there, if you kind of look at the way that this lays out, you know, the community, the roads run right through this area. This area was, the pit went into place, but then the thing we have is they have basically developed, it's the method of operation that they use that we talked about quite a bit today, and that Jason explains, there's a long-term plan to develop this as a real estate project.
And what's wrong with that?
Well, there is nothing wrong with it, except what they're doing is they are inviting people to the pit. They're inviting people to come live in the subdivision they built next to the pit, previously in the pit. And so, let me just shift to a slide that deals right with that question. There's been agreements reached. This is a long-term residential real estate project. And they have been building it out and inviting people to come to the area. And so it is difficult, in fact, to get an idea. We talked about an agreement earlier between with regard to the roads that go up into Tocqueville. And this is actually an attachment to that agreement, just the map that's attached. And we pointed out, in the attachment, they laid out each of the different access points to this, we say the pit area, it's really to this real estate project area. These aren't accesses for trucks for a gravel pit, because there's really four of them in key spots going into neighborhoods. Rather, they're connecting points for a residential development. And so, to look at it in, from a different direction, they are inviting people to come to build next to or in their PIP because they're connected up as a real estate project. And so the point there is that it would be difficult to, they sort of can't have it both ways. They can't get the protection of the SIMBA, which basically says you can't complain about things like, things that would be problems that would come about as being next to the PIP, because you waive that complaint, or at least it's more difficult to establish if you've got the SIMBA in place. And at the same time, it's sort of they can use this SIMBA as a shield, but not as a sword to stop others from who may have concerns. So the answer is, it's different. We feel that it's really not even within the intent of the Act. The Act deals with, and if we listen to the legislative record on this, it deals with things like the Parley's Canyon pit, like Point of the Mountain, Lakeside up in North Salt Lake, or the mines and stuff in Tooele County. And those are real legitimate mining extraction operations. They are not building residential neighborhoods. But when we look
point,
at...
Point of the Mountain, yeah.
There are some that build around, but this is an industrial area with railroads and trucking centers and such going through there. And it's not Geneva that's building those. And so what our position is here is that they're in a different category. They're inviting people to come around them. So to answer your initial question, they didn't know it ahead of time. They're invited to be there by the very party that's creating what could be the challenging condition. And so they don't, in that situation, the protection of the PIT or of the SIMBA doesn't apply.
So
that doesn't make any sense.
Tim, are you saying that the Trail Ridge developer, when they were originally looking to develop, and they purchased land right up the border, a zoning that allowed for gravel extraction in that entire zone, that actually I don't get what you're saying, because it's like this should be on Trail Ridge, not on the gravel operation. The gravel operation was there previously, and so it would have been wise had the Trail Ridge developer figured in a berm, a conservation area, et cetera, around the gravel pit to protect their neighborhood. And as far as the streets of access, Interstate Rock owns the property. They're developing the property. They make it very clear to all of their home buyers that there is a gravel pit operation. So the problem would not be for Interstate Rock first-time buyers. As the area progresses and you have homes selling for a second, third time, that might get watered down. But that, again, if you're kind of buying next to a commercial zone, you better be prepared for what goes into it. So I don't see that as something that should be on Leverkan or on Interstate Rock. I don't follow that logic.
I'll give you another example. In Hurricane, we have an industrial park by the golf course, and when they built that, there were no homes around it. Now there's homes all the way around it, and people begin to complain about the industrial use in that park. But when they bought the house, they knew it was an industrial park, they knew that there was a steel building, a steel fabrication business there that made a lot of noise and stuff like that, and automotive business and a bunch of other businesses there, but yet they still build around it. And now, once the people are there, they want to complain because it's an industrial park. And that just doesn't hold water with me, that if you knew when you bought the house what it was, why are you complaining?
Well, there are different, I won't take too much time on this. I see we have a little disagreement, but I will say that I think if we look at the way that the area has developed to purchase property right on the area that is really the slope next to the area, you know, where the town is located, and start this gravel pit, knowing that you can expand it into a real estate project, this is a long-term real estate project. And to take the gravel materials and sell it out to third parties, be in a gravel operating business, that makes all the sense in the world. That's what they do. But also, once they go past that point where they start operating it, or it's a large real estate project, then they should be subject to the control and the input and the oversight of the city council.
And when they get to that point and they begin to develop it as a real estate project, they will be.
And I think what I'm saying is they already have.
But they haven't into the pit. They haven't done that into the pit. And when they get to that point to where they're going to develop into that pit area that they've extracted the ground from, then yes, they will be subject to rezoning, the working city's regulations and everything. They won't be able to do anything without the permission from the city. And so I don't see where your argument is. After, they're in the business of developing and building homes as well.
Right.
Besides doing gravel.
And I think that's just it. This is the first part of this project that's been going on for a while.
Well, and they can do both things, and there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, they're a construction company, and there's all kinds of companies that do the same thing, own pits and develop real estate.
I don't disagree with that, but I think just with regard to the SIMPA, it sort of undermines the SIMPA concept, because that's designed to protect the mining operator, and they're not doing that. They're doing a residential development that happens to have...
So basically, they're protecting themselves from themselves. They're going to be protecting themselves from developing in their own pit. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me, but...
Yeah, they're protecting themselves from claims that other people around them could have.
Correct. And that's why you want to have that.
Because
the claims are going to be invalid. And even though you might want to sue them with it, you can sue anybody, but you'll lose. And that's just, whether they're simple or not, you're still going to lose.
At least this one slide addresses that. It says a critical construction material operator cannot claim the full protection of, and cites the department code that talks about the nuisance, for example, if the operator itself is developing the residential road property within or adjacent to the SIMPA, thereby inviting the sensitive uses. And they've done it. They have homes that have gone in. There's a space set aside for a school. They've adopted the public roadway, and that's what they're using to their benefit. They've even agreed to put the roadways in.
So what's wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with that, other than it shows that it's not a SIMPA type the simple law wouldn't apply here, because they are putting all the elements of real estate development into place. For example, and I'll go to another spot here. Now, as you know, they put five different subdivisions in. Actually, four different subdivision plats have been filed.
Phases.
Yes, and the law requires since 2029 that they would put a notice on those flats and this is for property on the other side, not on the north side, but on the south side, that they would give notice to the landowners, the home buyers, that they are in this situation next to this use. But they did not do that. And our point is, there's nothing wrong with not doing that, except it indicates further that they are at the phase of developing real estate. They don't want to give that notice. Because with that notice, it does create perhaps some...
It would be to their benefit to give that notice. It would be to benefit a trail race to give that notice.
Yeah,
and they should.
Yes, unless the intention of the applicant is to continue to develop as a real estate project, and then they probably wouldn't want to, and they didn't.
But they didn't in trail race either.
Trail Ridge is not the, they're not,
the right next to
they're not developing the pit, but they're not in,
any different.
Well, they're not the applicant.
But there's it's not any different as far as being developing that. That's just, that's what I'm trying to say. And what you're, the comments you're making don't make any sense to me. Because they're a developer and a home builder as well. Why wouldn't they? I mean, it's they're not trying to pull anything over.
They may have an obligation also to give such a notice.
They should, and they probably will from now on. I guess, is that right, James?
So that requirement is only if you have the designation, the simple designation, and or since May 7th, if you have a vested use called out. So all the plats that were recorded before, that wasn't a requirement. It wasn't anything that was supposed to be done on the plat until May 7th, or if we get the simple designation. So going forward, we will do it, yes.
Actually, slight correction, that particular section of the vested rights section of the code, 10-9-8-9-0-4, that was initially passed in 2019.
Right, 2019, but it was only called out if you had a SIMPA?
No.
If you had a critical...
Not a SIMPA.
We don't have a vested mining use, we have a vested critical infrastructure material use.
I read the statute the other day, and I think it's just a vested critical infrastructure. I have to look at it again.
We can take that.
Yeah, we can look at that. But I think since 2019, any developer with 1,000 feet, whether it's Interstate Rock or anybody else, ought to have been putting on the plat that language.
So if they haven't done it, what's...
They haven't done it? It's just like a lot of things. A lot provides a lot of things, and then if you don't do it, we just kind of sit around and look at each other, and then what?
We just kill them and what?
Yeah, it doesn't invalidate the plat, obviously. Yeah, it doesn't. I suppose what it might do is open somebody up for a claim. Well, I had no idea the place with the pit was there, and they told me it was going to go away after 2 years.
Yeah, but an individual has a due diligence.
I'm just saying people can
make that on their own. You don't have to.
Some people can maybe dream up a reason and try to pursue it. I don't think they'd be successful, but to avoid that kind of thing and to give notice the way the law prescribes, then on any future plat, certainly, I would recommend if someone's within 1,000 feet here in the working that we put that on the plat.
And we're really doing it for a little bit different. I agree with that, but we're looking at it for a little different reason. We're just saying it shows that their intention is to be a real estate, long-term real estate development project, they're not entitled to the SIMPA status.
I don't think that makes sense to me. They can still do what they're doing and have a SIMPA regulation there, and then as they get through extracting the gravel, they can develop it.
So okay, if the city is thinking we're going to keep, reducing or changing the SIMPA area, problem is it sits for 20 years. And a lot can happen in that 20 years time frame where they control, to some degree, what is determined with regard to development of that property.
They could decide next year that they're not going to extract the gravel and start developing in there.
Yeah.
They could do that.
They could, but that becomes their decision and not yours.
Right. And it is anyway. It is their decision. We're not the ones who're going to say you have to develop that now.
Yeah. Well, you may depend on what your situation is with regard to transportation and different public safety issues and stuff. You may decide that you want different uses that relate to their property, and so. You may lose those rights because you give them up to the protection
zone.
Mayor?
Yeah.
Sure.
I think, Tim, I understand now where you're coming from. I don't necessarily agree with it. But I would like to say that we did our general plan in 2018, finished 2019. We've done a comprehensive traffic study review several years ago, and then we just finished, well, it's not quite finished, but 95% finished on the transportation study, correct, Kyle? And then we are also just signed on for an update to the general plan, which of course includes the transportation study that's just recently been completed. And this issue, even with the full build out of Cottonwood Hollow, when it becomes all residential, there's not been any, other than the regional trail going through, Chase, there's not been any consideration of roads or anything going in. So I don't think for the Birkin that worry about a long-term development from a residential development from a gravel pit area would be a concern for us or a negative on whether or not a SIMPA is approved. But I think we're pretty solid on our transportation plans.
Maybe I'll explain, I'm just about done, but since you moved to the point of the general plan and the transportation issue, that's really one that I wanted to focus on, because I think that's a big one. I certainly, the road, Highway 17 coming through this area, and with the bypass that's coming in from Tocqueville, it's substantial. This is becoming a very major, and it's under a high-speed roadway that's coming through your town. That becomes, in our view, another critical health, safety, and welfare issue. Because when we look at the map, again, this is from your plan, and these are numbers in 2018, and they show a substantial increase. I don't think they even calculated the level at which it's happening now because of the demands that are on the park. But in particular, there's right here, I'll go beyond that. That shows the road that we talked about earlier that is committed to go through. And that slide is just to show that it's important that there be another roadway, which I think you agree, Laverne and Main Street, that extend up into Tocqueville, so there's another way of getting there. But if you look at this, this is your transportation analysis zone map. And if we look down in the area where the property is, where the sand and gravel operation is, there are roadway routes that are already, that go along here. If I had my pointer, I would work on this better. But they come right down, along the route. Let me just...
Follow the pointer.
Yeah, there are roadways that are designed inside the area of the route, and they go along the edge. They go along the edge of the area that's part of being requested for the SIMPA. And so it's not just Laverne and Main Street. There are roads in this overlay that filter down to that area. Not that you're going to put them in, but you might. And if you remember the other map that I showed you about these four different entries that they're already preserving in that area, there is a road plan for this area. It is a real estate development project with roads plan. And so our view, again, is that it's important that you retain that. But getting back, another important reason is when we look at this, and this is the intense traffic flow that you have, and this relates also to the situation in Tocqueville, but also in Laverne, and that is that just about, I think it's about 280 feet north of Zion Parkway that goes up into the Tocqueville neighborhood, you have the Tocqueville bypass coming in. And so you've got a real congested point there. You have lots of traffic. You could be flowing all the way down to Laverne, and most of it, at least a lot of it, going east towards Zion. But it's all coming through your town.
We know. We 100% live it every day.
I'm sure it's a big deal. But what I want to point out is the green line that becomes important. And that is that there, and I'm sure you agree with that there are other routes that need to go through here to give you the safety and protection so that the residents don't have to, the residents
grad. Look at us, for example, going to work, my clients live.
Eventually, yeah. They will go through there. And that is the plan. Yeah.
And so, what that means again is that means that we're in a situation where they're already developing the area as a residential development. And so that's for the city to control, at least regulate, not control, but regulate.
And the separate
takes away the certain aspects of that control. That's why, they even said they do not want the city to be able to condemn.
But Tim, they can't get the approval for the residential zoning without city approval. And so if the SMPA's in place, the SMPA's in place, but then they want to develop it, they're going to have to relinquish that control to the city if they want to do the real estate development
exactly.
of that.
Yeah.
So I honestly think they're okay on that. Lurkin, because I always think of Lurkin, but coming down through SR 17, let me just mention that the mayor, Darren, who is also with Washington County, Kyle, we have advocated for SR 17 to be widened. It's on the long-term plan with UDOT, so that traffic congestion is going to be there. That's nothing that Tocqueville nor Lurkin can control at this point. But we're aware of it, we're advocating for it, and up through SR 9, the twist, like I say, we live it every day. So.
And I can see, you know, you're confident that if things continue to change because with the pressure that's on that road, that you'll get cooperation with the applicant and with others to expand the road in whatever.
Well, what I'm saying is the applicant, being Interstate Rock, isn't going to be able to do residential development where the pit currently is without an agreement with the city, which would be whatever legal use there would be in turning back the SMPA or whatever it might be.
Yeah, they could maintain SMPA and develop the property. They'd have to develop the property and give up the SMPA rights on the areas that they're going to develop, and they could still mine the gravel in the area that they're going to mine under SMPA. So it would be to their advantage to give it up if they wanted to develop it. So I don't see that argument being.
Well, I understand you're saying whoever the landowner is, you always have leverage over them because you're the city in negotiation. And I think it's back to the point that where we started. Is that I think there's room to reach all of this that we're talking about in the form of just a normal long-term development agreement. We do it all the time. I think to put this in a situation where, as I said, the best way to find a resolution here is to enter into a development agreement that will address the greater development and planning issues for this area, which is an attempt to give the applicant the protection that it needs, with no need for a SMPA, but rather just give them the protection that they need in this agreement. But bind them to representations so that I expand the gravel pit, because that's a concern the community has, and so they agree not to do it, then that takes care of that. And then I think that balance for the protections the community has, and especially those that are, I think, are living adjacent to or as a part of the property in the pit. And so a long-term development agreement, I think, would help us get to where we may deem to be on being settled this whole concern that's been existing in the community. So I think we're just going farther than we have to give them what they want, but going far enough that I think certainly my clients and I think the community would think it was a good way to settle this problem. I don't think that the legislation is done with regard to the Protection Act. That tends to filter up and find a way at the legislature to continue to change. I think you will find that you have challenges with whoever the owner is of the pit over time if you don't retain the control that you have as a city council.
Is that the agreement that you were referring to in your first?
Yeah, Tim and I have been talking a little bit beforehand
That's the thing.
About the possibility of stepping back a little bit from this kind of debate and trying to find a way to reach an agreement that takes care of the issues for the city, for Interstate Rock, for the folks out in Tocqueville. And so I took it upon myself today to come up with a quick draft of a proposed agreement as a starting point for discussions between all parties. And I just passed it out to Tim tonight. He hasn't had a chance to look at it. Chase has not had a chance to really look at it, but after a day or so, once we've had a chance, hopefully, we can get together, we can talk about it, and maybe we can come to an agreement that would then kind of obviate the need to continue down this path to do the SIMPA.
I think that would allow everybody that has concerns, seems like they would probably go away, and you won't have any doubts or concerns with if you reach an agreement like that. If we go the SIMPA route, there will be concerns, even if it's the right thing, there will be lots of concerns. And it seems like this can be resolved in an agreement among the various interested parties.
Okay, well, hey, thanks for coming. This has been a good conversation and good discussion, and we'll move forward with it and get with the Interstate Rock people and see if there's something that can be changed.
Mayor, does the council have any objection if I meet with him and with Chase and his attorney and kind of see if we can't come up with an agreement that we can then present to the council? Or
I have no objection to you. I don't know if you have
any objection.
Okay. Well,
sounds good.
Okay. Yeah. Nope, that'll be good. Thanks for coming. I appreciate your time. And good conversation. Thanks. Okay. Next item on the agenda is mayor and council reports. One thing I have is that I'd like to have a work meeting with the Planning Commission, maybe scheduled for June 18th, our next meeting, to discuss. What are we going to discuss?
Density housing and no overlay, overlay zone.
No, the it's not density housing.
It's the overlay zone for the commercial.
Multi-use. Yes, that. And also, I think Darren and Mike, I don't know if we would have time to even consider that work meeting, but both of you wanted to talk about a possible ADUs being used for vacation rentals for people that actually live in their home, so the ADUs as well. So. That could be a possibility, or we can have that on a separate time. But is the council okay with that for a work meeting on the 5th? 5 o'clock on the 18th. You okay with that, everybody?
So how
about the Planning Commission? You okay?
I don't mind.
Okay, we'll put a notice out to the rest of the members and see if we can get together that day and discuss that. So we're working together, not against each other.
So yes. Mr. Mayor, we'll have a work meeting at 5 o'clock, and then the Planning Commission will go into their regular meeting at 6.
That's on our city council meeting. We'll have a regular meeting on the 16th.
Okay. Yeah, we'll have to make sure it's on the agenda properly as a work session at 5 o'clock.
Yes.
It's not the 16th, it's the 18th.
Or whatever that is, it's the 18th, yes. It is the 18th. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, let's start over with Darren. What do you have to report for?
I don't have anything on my... I reported on our mosquitoes. We're doing well with those. I was able to spend some time with the noxious weed people. And we have some citizens who have some noxious weeds around the community. People just need to be cognizant. If you don't take care of your thistle and your what's the one with the little flowers on it? The
nightshade.
That can be a big problem. Those thistle seeds can stay 50 years in the ground before they come up and replant themselves. So I think that's just something we need to be aware of as a community to make sure we take care of that nightshade and that thistle.
Okay, thank you. Dick.
Just a little bit on the fire district. They're doing real fine and monitoring some of the calls, and they get there on time and they get released on time, so they're doing a fine job. Asterix, the special service district. We've been in that meeting yet. They haven't had one, have they?
Yeah, we had one last month.
You're getting them?
You were there.
You already. Yeah, that's it.
They're doing fine, yeah. You know?
Yep.
Okay, thanks. Patty.
The Planning Commission had a meeting last week, discussed the SIPA, et cetera. They did not come to any decision as stated by Faye. And then the only other thing I have is that the Zion Scenic Byway Corridor Management Plan committee met. Our consultant is keeping us on a fast track, and they're going to be meeting with Senator Darren Owens and Representative Joe Elison to be the two state legislators who present the corridor management plan to the state legislature next year. So there will be meetings coming up about that. But the survey's done, the open houses went well. Attendance is light. It's really hard to get people to open houses, but Lurkin did really well. And then also the survey's coming back. It's not an easy topic to put your head around, so it kind of keeps people from delving into a survey. But it's all going well, and that's all I have.
Okay.
We have a solid waste meeting Monday, so I haven't had one of those yet. I hope it's a good one.
Okay.
But they do have a ribbon cutting this on the 6th, which is Friday, at 9 to 10 for their waste station and their meeting place down there. And they wanted to invite everybody, and it is an RVP. How do they say that? RSVP to get there. That's because they want to know how many people the light refreshments are for.
Okay.
So you're all notified. If you want to attend, just give them a call.
Okay. Thank you.
And that's all I have.
Hey, do you have any other things you want
to add? I don't have anything else.
Okay. We come to the final item on the agenda. This is a citizen comment, and this is a request for future agenda items. This is for the working citizens, and there's no action can be taken upon these items, but if there's anything that the working citizens would like to bring to the council right now, you're welcome to come to the stand and take a couple of minutes and let us know. You state your name.
Rich Brissett. I live in the Burke in the Riverwood area. I would like the council to consider putting on the agenda something about the trail alignment that will be going through Riverwood. I sent out emails to all of you, and Darren came out and left, and I probably didn't get with you, but we'd love to have you actually look and see where this is proposed, because we think there's a great alternative to having it go right through our backyard and use the street that's readily available to go that probably 800 feet between the sewer district property and the park on the corner. And so we would really like that to be considered before they go to all the work of trying to figure out how to do it and removing all of the mature trees that are in our backyards and basically making a
Okay, thank you. Any other citizens want to make comments? Last chance. Okay, thank you for coming this evening. I appreciate all of you being here. And we stand adjourned now. Thank you. No, the stuff is going to stop today.